Are American men facing a crisis of loneliness? An Ohio researcher is working on ways to address that crisis of connection. This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about this are Ohio State University Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health Associate Professor Nicholas Allen and Cincy Table founder Sam Lippert. Thank you for being here today, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
So, Nick, what does the research show about loneliness among men in the U.S., especially young men?
So research shows generally, even across the population, that loneliness has been increasing to the point that a few years ago, the Surgeon General even labeled it as a public health crisis. And so we've been noticing this change where people are feeling more isolated, that has developed. And in part, we can blame things like the COVID pandemic, where we had to spend a lot of time socially isolating. But then there's also societal things that, interestingly enough, things like social media, I would argue, have actually contributed to some of the loneliness epidemic that we see in males.
And are men more or less likely to seek help for loneliness than women are?
Oh, they are much less likely to seek help for loneliness than women. Actually, as a interesting anecdote for this, we were doing a study where we were recruiting people from Ohio, and it was open to both males and females who were reporting loneliness. And what we ended up recruiting is 29 females before we ended up getting our first male for that study. And that's consistent with what we see a lot, in therapy world, and then kind of how we think about things anecdotally, where it's tougher to get men to come in and open up.
Well, Nick, you mentioned social media just a minute ago. Do you find that men, maybe even especially young men, are tapping into online communities? I'm thinking of this space that's commonly called the manosphere, to address their feelings of loneliness or to find community. And if they are, what are they seeing and hearing there?
Yeah, I do think some of that is happening, both with the manosphere and then, you know, even with social media, TikTok and the like. One of the things that I think people are confusing is they sort of will think about quantity of interactions as a way to measure connection. So if I have this big group of people that I associate with, even if it's on social media, you know, I must be connected. But what the research shows is what tends to really matter is quality. And so I think what we're seeing is we're getting a lot of men who are getting these surface level connections, but they're not really getting that quality that they're looking for. And then in part because of these surface level connections, you know, a lot of times sort of toxic conspiratorial thinking is laundered through these manosphere areas because it grabs attention. So then you kind of get that added into the mix.
Sam, Cincy Table is all about making those connections actually in person. Do you find that social media, is that a barrier to that? Can you use it to help you make those connections?
Well, our project, it helps a lot because, I mean, that is primarily where we advertise to bring people into Cincy Table. But to the professor's point, we have a very hard time recruiting men to just come to dinner. Mm. And the interesting thing I've found is that our hardest demographic to get are men over 40.
Huh.
It flip-flops under 40. We have a hard time getting women under 40, but no problem with the men. So that's, you know, kind of trying to figure out how to battle that is the really difficult component.
Yeah. What do you hear from men who actually finally take that plunge and come to dinner and to participate? What are the things that are holding them back, you think?
Well, so, I mean, we are primarily a dating platform, but we have had a lot of people who have developed very strong friendship connections through participation, because you come week after week, you see the same people, you meet some new people, and you're all looking for the same thing, so you kind of bond. And we get men, so this is another interesting thing I've noticed, is women show up for something like Cincy Table, and they're happy if they leave with some new friends. They might not find a date, but they're happy to make some new friends. Most of the men who come in are exactly the opposite. Hmm. If they don't make a connection with a woman that one night, then they're not coming back. Now, of course, we have a few regulars who break that mold, but there are people who are open to connecting with other people outside of just a date.
Huh, interesting. Well, we're discussing the male loneliness epidemic and tips for making meaningful connections. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Well, Nick, I want to come back to this, these higher rates of loneliness that research has found, especially among younger men in the U.S. What does that mean for young men's mental health and their behaviors?
Well, loneliness is associated with a wealth of both negative mental and even physical outcomes. It is not helping, I guess you could say. And actually, I just wanted to mention something that Sam was saying that I thought was interesting related to that.
Okay.
He was talking about men not being able to, or not as many men coming to dinner. And it sort of makes me think one of the thing that I wonder if you can get more men to come together is we need more of a shared community around shared interests. So it makes me think of, you know, maybe instead of you go to dinner, everybody goes to a sports game or something like that. Because I think that is sort of one of the ways we can break through the connection with men is less something that is explicitly focused on a romantic connection and more about friendships, because I think men may tend to undervalue those, and especially our younger men.
Hmm. Well, Nick, there is a big difference between being alone and being lonely. You have research that shows Cincinnati has some of the highest rates of loneliness in Ohio. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so one of the things that was really fascinating about the study at this big study we're doing at Ohio State with other Ohio universities is we did this large study across all of the counties in Ohio, and we looked at rates of loneliness, and then we also looked at rates of social connection, which is important as well. So like, how many people are you encountering? And one of the most interesting things was we didn't find that those were highly related. And then we also found that on our map, we had it color coded, red meaning the most lonely and green meaning the most connected. Two of the spots that really stood out the most were Cleveland and Cincinnati. And this can seem counterintuitive because as some of my colleagues on the paper were voicing, they were like, I expected to see this more in rural communities. And I actually wonder if we're seeing less loneliness in rural communities because there is still that sense of community there. And maybe in our cities, it's been lost or fractured a little bit.
Sam, does that finding about Cincinnati surprise you? I mean, you're running this organization that's trying to bring people together. To hear that Cincinnati is one of the loneliest places in Ohio in the study, does that surprise you?
Well, I'm going to offer a personal anecdote, which is what leads me to not be surprised by it. I'm a transplant. I moved to Cincinnati just like in 2009. And while Cincinnati is a very close-knit community, it can be very difficult as someone who comes from outside to become a part of that community. I've also found as an adult that male friend groups, the existing ones, tend to be kind of closed and walled off and not really looking for new members for that community. So if you come into Cincinnati from outside, yes, you're going to encounter that loneliness phenomenon just because it's very hard to connect. But once you are accepted into one of those groups, it changes your view dramatically.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Do you think in your experience, and I know you're a sample size of one, so this is not the kind of research that Nick does, but in your experience, these male friend groups that have already formed, do a lot of them go back to like high school or college, or have they been buddies for a long time?
Most of them, yes, they've been buddies for a long time. And as Nick was saying, they're usually revolved around a particular activity. And it's great when you get together and do that activity, but as soon as you want to do a different activity, you've got to find a different group of people for that or a different group of men for that activity. My current friend group, which came together from a combination of Cincy Table and another organization called Time Left. It's a mixed friend group, probably close to equal parts men and women. And it's a lot, at least for me, it's a lot easier to navigate because we're constantly doing different things together, as opposed to just always focused on one activity.
Yeah. So if everybody's into tailgating at the Bengals game, but you say, hey, how about the art museum? That might not necessarily translate with a particular friend group.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Nick, I know you have developed talk therapy specifically to treat loneliness. What does that encourage?
So we have been working on, maybe for the past decade or so, with my colleagues, Lee Ashrafian at University of Rochester and Tracy Stecker at Medical University of South Carolina. We've really been working on developing a treatment for loneliness using basically pre-existing modalities that we know work. So cognitive behavioral therapy is really, at its simplest, the idea that mood, thought, and behavior are all interrelated. And if you want to change one of them, you have to work on the other one. So if you want to improve mood, you've also got to go out and do activities that are going to help encourage that. So with that in mind, we use cognitive behavioral therapy as a framework to really focus on loneliness. And in our research, a couple of things that we're noticing is we're finding that it isn't just about sort of finding things that you value and enjoy. It actually maybe takes a step back, and we have to kind of work with people to help them sort of understand their own values. Because once we can understand kind of what you value, our goal then is to help you find groups of people that can have similar types of values, because that's where, we think the community lies. And like Sam's talking about, like if you can get one of those communities, particularly one that isn't, only going to be at Bengals games, then you've really got something there.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, how well do you know your neighbors? This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the male loneliness epidemic and tips for making meaningful connections. My guests are Ohio State University Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health Associate Professor Nicholas Allen and Cincy Table founder Sam Lippert. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Nick, before the break, you were talking about the role of cognitive behavioral therapy, helping people identify what their interests are so that they can build those connections, be part of those groups that really share those interests and build, you know, and become part of that team and that group. Where have you seen men have the most success building those in-person relationships? Are there particular activities that come up again and again? Where have you seen the most success?
Yeah, that is a good question. I think it is really a lot of our maybe communities that we've had around for a while. So church groups, you know, a lot of men can find really tight-knit community there. Sports for some men, myself partially included. We love all sports. So, you know, you could even go into a sports bar and standing shoulder to shoulder with people. So that's one of the other things that we've kind of hit on with our work. Is for men, a lot of it can be easier to form these connections if you start out maybe with some sort of mutual shared interest, and you really are just standing shoulder to shoulder, bonding over that interest. And so I think activities along that line, and this, you know, things like bowling leagues, golf is an example. So I think for men, you know, part of the key is to make it easy on yourself. You don't need to start with going out there and having a 1 hour conversation one-on-one with some man you just met. You know, it can be, you know, going to the sports bar to watch the local Bengals game instead of sitting at home, you know, something as simple as that.
Yeah. Sam, I know you've been part of other kind of social meetups that are like Cincy Table, but not exactly Cincy Table. Have you seen particular types of activities that have had more success getting men to participate?
Well, the activities that the social groups I generally tend to gravitate towards are really structured like Cincy Table in the fact that it's, you know, six people getting together for dinner. Most of the time people who don't know each other. And so outside of that, I really don't have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we try to do is, it back to what Nick was saying about shared interests and shared values, we can encourage our participants to fill out a 25 question questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it helps us, it's a questionnaire about who you are, as opposed to what you're looking for in either a friend or a partner. It's about who you are. And when we construct our tables, we try to put people together based on that questionnaire. So you're sitting with a group of people, both men and women, who share many of your values and interests.
Mm, okay. So there's a starting point for conversations.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I do think it's important to say that a lot of young women are struggling too. Our conversation's focused on the male loneliness crisis, but there are a lot of women who are also lonely. And you mentioned that you know, recently were recruiting people for this a therapy program, and you recruited like 29 women before you recruiting one man. Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts on how to raise consciousness about the struggles that men are facing without, you know, dismissing or diminishing the struggles that women are having too?
Yeah, I mean, that is an excellent question. I mean, I think there is a way to reach both groups without diminishing either of them. That's one of the things that we like about our therapeutic approach is it's really tailored towards the individual. And so, you know, male, female, you know, all different backgrounds. It's all about kind of what drives you, because that I think is one of the important things, even beyond this male loneliness, female loneliness epidemic, is to recognize a lot of what how people develop loneliness and how people can get out of their bubbles. It's going to be individual. Because I was going to mention one. So first, I think what Sam is doing is really cool, and I love that idea of finding out who the person is and putting them all together. But it reminds me of one piece, and maybe this speaks to why we can get, you know, why it's easier to get females than males. Part of getting out there involves tolerating discomfort, right? It's not necessarily easy to meet a new group of strangers, and particularly if you're expected to have conversations. So I think it's maybe important for people to consider that part, especially, you know, males and females, if they get opportunities like Sam's club here, to really weigh like why they might not do it, because sometimes people will do it just because they're afraid it's going to make them a little bit uncomfortable. And that I think has gotten in the way of both men and women kind of getting out there and finding their communities.
We got an email from Chris who writes, I'm 53, male, have been divorced for about 2 years. I have a nice group of friends and like to do activities like sand volleyball, but I still struggle because these are inexpensive fixes. I make decent money, but it was this social distancing of COVID. It was the rising costs that have never gone down for 6 years. Unless it's an inexpensive hobby, I can't afford to do dinners or activities without being anxious about the money spent, and that is contributing to my bouts of loneliness. Nick, does that resonate with you? Do you hear things like that from the men that you're talking to?
Yes, and notice, right? So he brought up a really good point. You know, one of the pressures a lot of people are feeling now is economic, and one of the things when I was mentioning fear of discomfort, one of these other points is sort of high levels of stress in general are just going to make forming those connections that much tougher. And so for some people, you know, you may need to work on bringing your own stress levels down before you're in a spot where you can connect with others.
Well, we do have a caller on the line. Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hey, I'm calling in because I'm really been struck by the conversation today for many, many reasons. But I've been able to find a really great community and one of your channel sponsors, Cincinnati Computer Reuse. I've been volunteering there for a couple of years now just because I'm interested in electronics and they're an electronics recycler. And the community that I've been able to really kind of build around retro computing and electronics in general has really been an awesome outlet for me and kind of, you know, a third or fourth place for me. And I just wanted to throw that out there as not that specific place as a place to volunteer, but there are plenty of opportunities to get out there and volunteer and really kind of feel good about what you're doing, but also build that community and get to be with some like-minded individuals. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate your calling. That is such a fantastic point. Nick, is that an outlet for people to turn to? I mean, to find people with shared interests to volunteer?
Yes. Yeah. Lots of opportunities. I really think, and you know, what the caller is speaking to, it kind of comes down to, you know, what brings you joy and what brings you, you know, contentment. And it seems we're seeing a pattern. If you can find a community where they have those similar interests, those are the ones that are really gonna be fulfilling. So So I wouldn't say, you know, everybody needs to necessarily rush out and volunteer. Everybody should, you know, definitely go and join Sam's dinner club for sure. But, you know, other activities you really maybe need to explore. You need to find what are the things that are going to bring you happiness, and you'll find you're going to be around other people who enjoy those. And then that can be, you know, a really good start to building that community, like Brian was talking about having.
Well, thanks, Brian. That was a great, great point. I really appreciate it. Well, Sam, Nick was just talking about part of the hurdle for people is that feeling that I'm going to be uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to be, I have to talk to somebody I don't know. I have to, you know, cross that threshold and put myself in a position where I'm a little uncomfortable. What's your best advice for taking that first step, for like getting out there, meeting people, breaking that ice?
Well, my advice is avoid the one-on-one. Do something that is structured as a group, like the caller was saying, you know, volunteering, getting involved with a group that that does stuff for the community. Anything that keeps you from immediately being thrown into a one-on-one interaction. It's a lot easier to, in my opinion, for me anyway, it's a lot easier to express myself in a small group than in a one-on-one interaction.
Yeah. Well, I have been talking with Ohio State University Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health Associate Professor Nicholas Allen and Cincy Table founder Sam Lippert. Thank you both so much for your time and for this great conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Up next, how well do you know your neighbors? We'll get advice for breaking that ice. This is Cincinnati Edition.